Well, today is a special day. Why is it special? Because you're here. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's special because you're here. Now turn and say, it's even more special because God is here. God is in the house today. Last week, we kicked off a new series that we entitled Getting Out of Your Comfort Zone. Getting Out of Your Comfort Zone. And we kicked off the series with a message we entitled Defeating the Lazy Boy Spirit. The Lazy Boy Spirit. And we have decided that a recline or a lazy boy actually symbolizes so many things. It symbolizes comfort, doesn't it? And it really symbolizes what our society is about. It really symbolizes the comfort. And our society is all about being comfortable. Our society is all about wearing shoes that are comfortable to me, clothes that are comfortable. I want a bank account that's comfortable. I want a house that's comfortable. I want a job. I mean, everything is about being comfortable. That's the way we are as human beings, that we are made. We want comfort. And that's not a bad thing. Matter of fact, when we rest in God's Spirit this morning, it's very comfortable to be in the presence of God. It's a very peaceful thing to be in God's presence. He has come to bring us peace. He has come to bring us hope. He's come to bring us life and joy. There is an element of comfort when it comes to being a Christian, that you have security in who Christ is. But also we know this, that Christ said this. He goes, there comes a time when I'm going to send you out as a Christian to be sheep among wolves. I mean, that's very comfortable, isn't it? That's a very comfortable thought, that God is sending me out like sheep among wolves. He says that he's called us out to go out and to make disciples of all nations. And that God never meant for us to live a comfortable Christian life as we so perceive it. That when I accept Christ, that it's not just about resting in his comfort, but it's also that he not only is to give me comfort in him, but it means this, that there's going to be some hard times that come my way. There's going to be some hard times, some storms that come my way, but I receive comfort in knowing that God's in control. I receive comfort in knowing that even though the world around me is shaking, even though the world around me has problems, and I have problems in my family and things I'm going through that I don't understand, I know that if I put my trust in the Lord, I can rest in him, that he gives me peace that passes all understanding. But also know this, that God has not called us to stay in the life of comfort. That he has not called us to stay in the recliner. That he has called you and I to what? He says, you shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witness. That God has called you and I to go to make disciples, to be his witness. And that means that we got to leave our comfort zone. That we got to leave this zone of comfort and saying, you know what? I've got to do things that aren't always in my comfort zone. And I've got to get out of my comfort zone to see there's a world out there that is dying and that needs to know Jesus. They need to know what Jesus has done in my life. They need to know that God loves them, that God is there to restore their life, that God is there to help their marriage, that God is there to help their children, that God is there to give them a peace that passes this all understanding. But how does this happen? This happens when I get out of my comfort zone and begin to realize who he is, begin to see who he is in my life and to declare who he is in my life. And we talked about last week getting out of this spirit of this lazy boy spirit. And today I want to talk to you, continuing this thought, ask you this question. Do you fish? Do you fish? Isn't that a good question? We got any fishermen in the house? Raise your hand if you like to fish. Anybody like to fish in here? Raise them high. I couldn't see because the lights are so bright. Who likes to fish in the house? I tell you what, I like to fish. I grew up fishing a lot with my father and my father's family. They were big fishermen. And I like to fish. I don't do as much as I like to since I've moved to Missouri. But I want to do more of it. But I like to fish a lot. And today I want to talk to you about this thought that do you fish? And let's read the scripture as we can continue to go on. And Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. This is Matthew 14, 18 and verse 19. Let's pick it up halfway through 18. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, look what he says, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I want to give you some thoughts and ask you some questions and give you some statements today that I want you to answer in your own life. And the first statement is this: if you're following, you're fishing. If you're following, you're fishing. Jesus said, if you will follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And it's true about this next statement: if you're following and you're fishing, then the truth must be if you are not fishing, you're not truly following. If you're not fishing, are you not truly following? Now, that's a very comfortable statement, isn't it? If I'm not fishing for men, then am I a true follower of Christ? Ouch! I don't like saying that very much because there's times in my life I fall short of this. There's times in my life where I've fallen short of being a true fisher. And when I read those statements of Christ, it was very simple, very clear. He says, hey, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so the truth would be that God, if I'm a follower of Christ, then it would be just a natural process that I will become a fisher of men. It's a natural thing. It should be a natural thing as being a follower of Christ. Well, last week we talked about this thing that happens to people. We get saved and we get so radical for Christ that we want to tell people what God has done in our life. We tell our friends, our family, and we get so excited. We're bringing people to church. But it's something that happens to a lot of Christians, seems to happen about year two of your Christian walk with God. There's a big vacuuming sound that sucks you into this Christianese society that says, oh, just get comfortable with God, and that's it, you know. And live this life of comfort where we're not getting out there and continue to tell people who God is in our life. And God says this: if you love me, if you're a follower of me, you're going to fish. You're going to become a fisher of men. And the question is, do you fish today? And I was thinking about this statement, and I was reminded of a lot of things. And the first thing is this: we must be persistent. We must be persistent when you go fishing. How many know that when you go fishing that you don't always catch fish on the first cast? Isn't that true? Daryl was a professional fisherman for a long time. Isn't that true, Daryl? When you do not catch a fish on the first cast, how do you catch fish? You just got to continue to cast the line. And if you don't catch something there, you go to a different spot. Continue to cast the line. If it doesn't go there, you go to a different water level or to a different spot of the lake or move over to the shallow where the sun's, you know, not shining so hot in that part of the area. Whatever it is, you find some old limbs and some logs and where fish are hiding out, man. Change up your bait and do all kinds of things. But you got to be persistent when it comes to catching fish. And the same thing happens when God has called you and I to be fishers of men, the reaching people for Christ, that we got to be persistent. You got to keep on casting. You got to keep on casting. Don't be afraid to throw out that line. Don't be afraid to throw out that line and let God do what he wants to do. Listen, you got to throw it out there. You got to throw it out there. You got to cast that thing, man. I got this weight right here. This way. Okay. Some of you guys ducked right then, didn't you? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to cast and keep casting that line. Keep casting it out there. Hey, God loves you. This is what God has done in my life. There's a better life for you. Man, you and your wife, you need to be a church. You need to be what God's doing. This is what God's done in my marriage. This is what God's done in my family. You got to cast. Throw it out there. The second thing I was thinking about is you must, if you're going to catch fish, what do you got to do? You must do this. You must use the right bait. Now, this is something that's very technical, and I'm not going to get to a lot, but you guys who fish a lot, you know what I'm talking about. Man, there's such a secret to catching the right fish with the right bait. I mean, if you want to catch certain fish eat worms, certain fish eat jigs. I mean, get snug by jigs, you know. Let's make it, some fish like to eat little fish, and some, you know, so much different kinds of bait out there. If you want to catch certain fish, you got to use a certain kind of bait. And the same way happens with us. If we want to be fishers of men and catch fish, how do we do that? We got to use the right bait. And as I was thinking about that, I thought this is very true that how do we catch fish in general as we go fishing? We got to use bait. We feed fish what they want to eat. That's how we catch them. I thought that's how true it is in our life. If you want to catch somebody for Christ who does not know who God is, what's the best way to catch them? Feed them. Feed them. What do you mean? Well, first of all, you're going to feed your spirit, man. You're going to feed your spirit what God is telling you. Hey, this person is lonely for friendship. This person is lonely for someone to listen to them. This person is lonely for somebody to help out their wife. I mean, what is it? This person, you feed them, first of all, they're hungry for, but also feed them spirit, not spiritual food, but feed them what? Feed them physical food. Write this down. I've said this a lot in the past, and write it down. It's a good statement. If you feed them, they will come. It's the truth, isn't it, Pastor Matt? If you feed them, they will come. Feed people. What's the best way to break down people in your life you're wanting to reach for God? Take them out to eat, or have them over, better yet, have them over to your house, or man, and grill and do stuff, you know. Feed them. Just let them, hey, why don't you just come over and have some dinner, hang out, watch the game, do this, do that. What are you doing? I am feeding them. I am feeding them. I am baiting them. When I throw, I say, come over to my house for dinner. Hey, why don't you come over and watch the game with the guys? Hey, why don't you go shopping with the girls? What are you doing? You're throwing out the line. You're throwing out the line. We got to find people who know who God is. People who are wanting to know who God is in our life. And that does not happen when we just sit around. If I just hang around the people in the church all my life, I'm never going to meet people who need to know Jesus. And I'm going to talk about the balance of that in just a little bit. But we got to get out there. Don't be afraid to cast. And you got to be smart. Use bait they want to eat, man. People want to have food. You want to reach your coworker? Invite them to go to lunch. I say, hey, man, let me take you out to lunch. Let's go around the corner to this lunch spot. Take them out to lunch. Let them know that you are interested in them. Eat lunch with them in the break room. That person nobody else wants to sit by in the break room because they're kind of weird, you know? You know what I'm talking about. Every break room's got those people that you think, but God has called you to reach those people. As a Christian, I'm not called to judge them. I'm called to fish for them. I've got to be a fisher of men. I'm throwing out the line, throwing out who they are. Use the right bait. Listen, you're not going to reach people by coming in with your Bible and thumping them in the head with that Bible and say, man, listen. The reason why you're in such a mess because you've disobeyed God all your life and you're going to hell if you don't. What are you doing? It's like, whatever. Get that Bible out of my face. But if I come in and say, you know what? What's going on in your life? Hey, man. Oh, you're going through a divorce in your life, man. I can relate. I went through a divorce once in my life. Or, you know what? I know it's tough and you feel alone right now. Hey, why don't you come over? You bring your kids and my wife and I, we'll feed you this week. Why don't you come over and what am I doing? Boy, I just opened up a safety net and said, hey, I care about you. And they're going to say, what's different about this person? There's something different. All the rest of the coworkers, they kind of go through their life. They're going through this work thing and nobody else is taking time to even notice I'm going through a problem. And this person is taking me out to lunch. This person's inviting me to their home. This person is praying for me. This person's concerned about me. What am I doing? I am throwing out the line. I'm casting it out and saying, you know what, God? We're going to catch some fish. And I'm using the right bait. I've got to use the right bait. Listen to this statement. My job is to fish. God's job is to catch. Isn't that a good statement? My job is to fish. It's God's job to catch. And this is where we get mixed up because we think I am called to catch the man. Now some of you single ladies here, you may have that prayer in your heart. You want to catch the men. No, he has never called me to be a catcher of people. He's called me to be a fisher of men and women. He's called me to be a fisher. I'm called to cast out the line. It's God's job to catch them. And so this is what happens. I threw out the line. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. This is what God's done in my life. I'm casting out the line, and I've got to allow His Holy Spirit to come along and set the hook, okay? And if the Holy Spirit doesn't do that, it's not up to me to say, didn't catch anything. Man, now some of you have fished that way. Some of you golf that way too, but I won't say that the word. I didn't catch anything. I'm not going to fish anymore. I mean, it's not my job. It's not my job to catch the fish. It's my job to cast out the line. And see, some of you guys, you're so worried about, well, you know what, Pastor Gene, I can do that. I can invite him out to lunch or I can have him over to eat at my house. But what do I say? What am I going to do if they want? You know, what's going to happen? You know, you let the Holy Spirit worry about that, okay? I guarantee you this. When you step out on faith and you reach out to somebody and you invite them to your home for dinner or you invite them out to lunch or you talk to them in the break room or wherever you're at, Walmart, wherever God leads you to, to, to talk to somebody, to cast the line. I guarantee you this, that if you cast it out in faith, that God's going to make you, he's going to give you the right words to say. He says, don't worry about what you're going to say. I will tell you when it's time. And I tell you the truth. There's been times in my life when I felt inadequate on trying to witness somebody. But it seemed like as I stepped out in faith, I was like, all right, God, I got this first line. But after that, I don't know what I'm going to say. I would step out in faith, and it was after that that the Holy Spirit would take over my life, and pretty soon I'm speaking things I didn't even know that I knew. I'm remembering things that out of the sermons I couldn't even remember that I knew. Hey, I forgot. Oh, yeah. And these things are coming to my heart, and the Holy Spirit's dropping in my heart the right thing to say, the right thing to do. And it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit will help you catch the fish. It's God's job to catch them. It's not my job to catch them. And it's a side note, it's not on your overhead, but it's God's job to what? It's his job to clean the fish, okay? Just remember that. As a church, too many times I was raised in church, we wanted to clean them ourselves, you know? You got to stop doing this. You can't be this way. And we want to clean the fish before they ever accept, before they ever even get into the boat, man. Before they ever get into the boat, we want to clean them. No, our job is to throw out the line, let God catch them, and let his Holy Spirit clean them, okay? Let him form them to the image he has called them to be. My job is to fish. It's God's job to catch. Write this down. If you want to catch big fish, use a guide. If you want to catch big fish, use a guide. Now, I've done a lot of fishing in my life, and I fish small rivers and ponds and big lakes. But, man, if you really want to catch big fish, I've learned one thing. You've got to go with somebody who knows what they're doing. If I really want to catch some big fish, I've got to go with somebody who's a pro at this, somebody who knows that river. Somebody who knows that lake, you know, whether it be if I'm on vacation at an oceanfront somewhere, if I want to take one of the big boats out into deep sea where somebody knows where to catch the big fish, or whether it's somebody here in Missouri who knows these rivers and knows how to get to the back parts. I went with a guy one time who took me out on the river, man, and we were going. I mean, it was freezing cold that morning. I thought, this guy is crazy. He's zooming, you know, it's like 20 degrees outside on the lake going in the morning. I'm huddled up in a blanket, you know, ducking down because the wind's so cold, and he's zipping in and out of trails and paths. I don't even know where we're going. I'm thinking, Lord, you know, this is back in the boonies. But pretty soon he stops. He says, throw out right here. So I throw out right here, and it's pretty soon, about yanking me out of the boat. We're catching 45 and 55-pound fish, snagging them, man, and catching these big old spoonbills, about yanking you out of the boat. But I couldn't have caught those on my own. But I went with somebody who knew what they were doing. He was the guide, and he knew the exact part. He knew exactly where the fish were be mating during that time of the year, and he knew exactly where we'd catch them at. And, man, we were catching these humongous fish. So today, if you want to catch big fish, you got to use a guide. Who's your guide? It's the Holy Spirit. You got to allow the Holy Spirit to be the guide in your life. You got to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in your life. You allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and say, where do I cast? Because see, if we will listen, he will tell you, hey, no, don't throw there yet. Turn to the left over here. There's a great spot right there. See that person over there? Zzz. Hey, don't change your bait. You're using the wrong bait. Use this. Zzz. The Holy Spirit will be your guide. And if you want to catch the big fish, listen to your guide. Listen to the Holy Spirit in your life. And the last thing about fishing I want to talk to you about is this. Don't give up because one got away. Don't give up because one got away. Many times when we go fishing, we'll snag a big fish, and because the fish is so big, or maybe he hits a rock, or he runs us behind somewhere, we'll break the line and we'll lose a big one. I mean, that's a frustrating thing as a fisherman. I mean, you get right there, and you just about got them in. You know, you're flipping around. I think I'll jump up sometimes and snap your line. You're like, oh! But you guys who fish, do you quit fishing when you lose the big one? No, because we know that eventually we're going to catch one of those big ones. And it makes it all worth it, man. It's great, and we just like the challenge of it. So why do we stop? Well, Pastor, I tried to witness to people. I threw out my line. And I thought I had it, but they didn't accept Christ. Your job is to cast. And just because they don't take the bait right away doesn't mean you give up. I used to have an uncle that would take me fishing. And he was retired, and so he didn't have to work. And so all the cousins, we would always go out to his house in the country, and we would go out there and spend several weeks during the summer. And he would take us fishing. He liked to fish at night. And so we would go out late at night when it was dark, and we'd fish almost all night until the sun came up. And he had his whole truck full of fishing poles. And he would take us all these fishing poles and throw them in the back of the station wagon or his truck. And he would take all of us out there into the river, and we'd throw out. I mean, he had like, you know, a whole bank full of fishing poles, man. He would have them all out there, and we'd throw them out with different kinds of bait, and they'd be out there. And sometimes we'd catch a lot of fish. But we just like the cousins. We just like being out there. We just like playing around. We didn't necessarily care if we were catching fish or not. We just like staying out all night as a young kid, you know, out there on the river. Man, that was it, man. That was the place to be. And so he would say, you know what? I think we need to go home. Nothing's biting. Let's go home. And I knew how to make him stay. He would have his fish rod out by his chair, and he would be sitting like this. And I would walk up behind him, and I would just kind of tap the bottom of his pole with my fish. And his pole was shaking. He's grabbing real fast. Oh, whoa, whoa. Well, sit down, boys. Sit down. They're biting. They're getting ready to bite. And we were good for another hour or two. Just that little bitty nibble, he thought he was getting his mind. He thought, man, we're staying, you know. Why? Because he wasn't afraid. It was just that little bitty nibble that kept him coming back. You see, don't be afraid to throw it out. Don't give up just because you don't catch a fish right away. It's not your responsibility to catch them. It's your job to cast out the line, to cast out the net, to throw out the line. Let God catch them. Let God bring them in. I think this is a great story we see in Luke chapter 19 of this. And it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1 through 10. We see the story of Zacchaeus. Let me read you the first part of the story. It says, "And then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich, and he sought to see those who Jesus was. And he could not, listen, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. He ran ahead, and he climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass by that way." So here we have Jesus coming to Jericho. Word of God says this right here. He says, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And we see Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time teaching on this. I've done a lot of teaching on this in the past. But let me just kind of paraphrase the story for you and let you know. In essence, he was the most hated man in all Jericho. He was one of their own that had begun to work for the Roman government, and he turned on his own people, and he was cheating people out of money. As chief tax collector, if you owed the government $2, he could tell them you owed him 10. He could keep 8 and give the government 2. He had that kind of power. It's like the mafia, man. It was the mafia of that day. He ran the mafia. He was the godfather. He was there. He had it all going, you know. It was all there. He was the most hated man in that city, in that region. And not only was that, the Word of God says he was short in stature. And when you study that out, it actually means he was deformed. He was actually deformed. He had a body of a little boy. He had never grown to be a full man because of his dwarfness. And so I imagine all of his life he was picked on. All of his life he was seen as the outcast. And here he was, not only an outcast, but now he became like the head of the mafia. He's the most hated man. He's a thief, stealing from his own people. And Jesus is passing through Jericho, and it says that Zacchaeus went on ahead, and he climbed a tree to see who Jesus was. And let me ask you this question today. Watch your Jericho. Watch your Jericho. It says that Jesus was passing through Jericho. And I wonder today, how many of us are passing through Jerichos in our life? That tomorrow when we get up to go to work and we live our day and we go to the store and we take our kids to school or we go to college or you go to work or you live your life in your neighborhood, what is your Jericho? What are you passing through that if you just pass through it like this with blinders on in my comfort zone that I'll never see the Zacchaeus around me? It says that when Jesus passed through Jericho, that the crowds were all around him. It says the crowds were actually pressing him. I mean, you're talking about being pressed. He was being pressed. It was a paparazzi frenzy. Man, they were there. They were all over him. People trying to touch him. Bless my child. Pray for my child. Do this. Do that. And it says that as he's passing through Jericho, it'd been very easy for Jesus to do what? To kind of duck his head and say, let's get through this crowd. Let's go. Let's get out of here, you know. But no, he didn't just pass through. He passed through with a purpose. And out of all the people that were there, it says that he saw some guy hanging up in a tree, Zacchaeus. I mean, of all the people there, he saw Zacchaeus hanging in a tree. That brings us to our next question. Who are the people that are hanging? Who's hanging from a tree in our life? Who's hanging from a tree in our life? Who are the people that you are passing through your Jericho today hanging from a tree? That they're hanging there and nobody else cares about them. Or maybe they've got it all together. Maybe it's your boss and they seem like they got it all together. But you know what? Deep inside, they're hurting. Deep inside, they need somebody to come along and speak the love of God to their life. Who are the Zacchaeus in our life? When Jesus passed through, even though he was crowded, even though he was busy, even though he had a purpose, his main purpose was to pass through Jericho, he didn't forget that he saw a man hanging from a tree. He didn't forget that he had a Zacchaeus up there. And I love the rest of the story because he walks up to Zacchaeus and he says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus." And why is that important? Because, you see, I guarantee you, when he called him by name, number one, we see this story that this is the only time in the New Testament, the first time in the New Testament, the only time in the New Testament where Jesus actually called this man by name before he was ever introduced to him. Jesus was never introduced to him, but yet he knows who he is. He calls him by name. And not only does he call him by name, but he calls him by his birth name, Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus translates to the pure one. So Jesus looks at him and says, "Hey, pure one, come here." And we know that's such an oxymoron because he was anything but pure. He was a thief. He was a shrimp. He was a punk. And he was all these things that people called him. But a pure one was the furthest from the truth. And so here's God going through Jericho, and he doesn't see him as the one that nobody else wants to talk to. He doesn't see him as the one that nobody else wants to associate with. He doesn't see him as the one that nobody wants to be around. But he calls, "Hey, pure one, come here. Guess what? I'm going to your house to eat." What's he doing? "Hey, we're going to go feed." Imagine, he used physical food to reach his heart. "Zacchaeus, come here. I'm going to your house today. We're going to have lunch." We'll see the first power lunch recorded right there in Scripture. We don't know what happens in that lunch. We don't know everything that's said, but we know this. When he gets through with that lunch with Jesus, that he comes down and says, "Jesus, you know what? Man, my life has changed. I'm going to take everything I've ever done wrong to anybody. And man, I'm going to pay them back a multitude, time and time again. What I've stole from them, I'm going to take it back and pay them even double, triple. I'm going to pay them even more money than I ever took from them, stole from them. Give it back to them." I mean, his heart was changed because Jesus decided to have lunch with him. And I wonder how many of us are going to go through our Jericho tomorrow if somebody needs somebody to take them to lunch. If somebody needs somebody to pay attention to them. If somebody's hanging from a tree and nobody else notices them. The crowd is there going up and down through the workplace, through the school, through the college, through the neighborhood, and nobody else recognizes that there's somebody hanging from a tree. And when you get to pray that prayer that I talked about last week in Colossians 4, it says, "God, open my eyes, direct my heart that I can see people for who they are. Give me the opportunity to share your gospel message." When you get to pray that prayer, you'll see the Zacchaeus hanging from the tree. When the crowd doesn't see anything but this, you'll begin to look up and see there's somebody hanging from the tree. There's somebody that needs a power lunch. There's somebody who needs Jesus. But what does that take? It takes you and I getting out of our comfort zone and becoming a follower of who Christ is, becoming a follower of him. I want to close with this statement and ask this question. How do I fish without drowning? How do I fish without drowning? Because this is the million-dollar question right here. It brings balance to the whole thing. As a new Christian, as we are accepting Christ, that there comes a time in our life, you realize this, that we need to cut some people out of our life in order to get to where God's calling us to be. As some people who influence you negatively, there's some people who influence you who, if you were not around them, you would not do the same thing you always do. There's some of you who want to break addictions in your life. There's some of you who want to have a better attitude. There's some of you who want to grow in your relationship with Christ. And I ask you, who are the people who, when you're around them, they draw you to be away from those things that you know is your purpose in life? And as a as we look at that, sometimes we got to learn to cut those relationships out of our life because they force me to be negative. They force me to draw back instead of go forward to God. And so it's important that we surround ourselves with good Christian people who will support us, who will make me better, who will challenge me to be a better husband, a better father, a better mother, a better employer. People who will challenge me to do God's will in my life, who will say yes to God. It's important that I surround myself with those kind of people. Young people, teenagers, you can't hang around just everybody just because they go to your school. There's a reason why you're not able to hang around all those people because you are influenced. And we got to learn as parents, we have to be good judgment of knowing who does my child, who does my teenager hang around that influences them badly. And whether they like it or not, if I think they're a bad influence, they're not going to hang around them. Tough. It's not going to happen because it's my job as a parent to make this call. And sometimes we, as Christians, we got to do the same thing. Who are the people who are negative in our life who cause us not to grow in our relationship with God? Matter of fact, they cause us to go backwards. But in the balance, so is this. If God has called me to fish, then I got to hang around some stinking fish sometime, don't I? If I'm called to fish and be a fisherman, so how do I do that, Pastor Gene? How do I cut out people out of my life who are negative? And how do I be a fisherman of people who are pretty much the same way? That's a good question, isn't it? So, I cut out people out of my life who are negative. I cut those people out of my life. And now I want to surround myself with good people. Come here, Carlos. You want to be negative or good? You be good. Okay, come here. He can be good. Come here, Pastor Matt. Come here, Chris. I'll say these guys are good guys. Are you good guys? I'm good around you, okay? These guys, when I hang around these guys, they make me better. When I hang around these guys, they challenge me to grow. When I hang around these guys, they challenge me to be a better pastor, to be a better person, a better father, a better husband. You know what? I'm growing in my walk with God. But at the same time, I need to reach somebody who maybe doesn't know God that well. Somebody who maybe needs God. Chuck, come here. We know you need God really this morning. Come here. Stay down here. So you guys, come here. Let's go over here to this side of the stage a second. So this is what happens. Let's say Chuck is somebody who's not a Christian, and actually is not only a Christian, but maybe they even have a bad influence on my life. But I say, you know what? I'm going to win Chuck for God. I'm going to win Chuck for God, man. I'm going to do it. Chuck, let's go. Man, we're going to hang out together, and I'm going to win you for God. I'm going to pull him up to my level. So I reach out to Chuck. I say, Chuck, Jesus loves you, man. Come up to my level. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? You know what? It's a lot easier for me to be pulled down than it is for me to pull him up. It's hard. It's a lot. I mean, chances are I'm going to get pulled down before I ever pull him up. So how do I do that? But when I'm connected to these guys right here, you guys better grab a hold of me now. Like you love me. But when I'm connected to men who I'm accountable to and who are lifting me up, and when I reach out to Chuck and he starts reaching back, but I can pull him up, see? Why? See the difference there. See the balance. Thanks, guys. You see, I'm called to be fishers of men, but I've got to be connected with people who make me better, because when I go out to be fishing, I don't want to lose myself. I don't want to drown out there, man. And so I've got to be smart. I've got to be smart. Be a smart fisherman. And the question is this: what is your Jericho? Who are the people that you pass who are hanging by the limb? Who are the people who need to know who Jesus is? In closing today, as Pastor Manager coming, in closing today, I ask you this question, you know, getting out of our comfort zone. Getting out of our comfort zone. It's not an easy thing because we like it right there, don't we? I like it right there. I really like it right there. But God is calling every one of us to get out of our comfort zone to reach people. We got to cast it, man. We got to cast it. And every one of us are passing through a Jericho today. When we leave here, we're going to pass through our Jericho. Tomorrow, when we go to our job, our school, we're going to pass our neighborhood. We're going to pass through our Jericho. Who is it that's needing? Somebody just to say, hey, I see you hanging out there. I can't come into this place and just be comfortable all the time. I can't just be here living my life as a Christian right here. No, to be a follower of Christ means I'm to be a fisher of men. It's an adventure. I'm out there. I mean, Christianity keeps you on the edge. If you're a Christian, you should be living your life on the edge. Constantly saying, man, when's the next big catch? I'm throwing it out there. I'm throwing it out there. And so many of us, we get so caught up in our comfort zone that we don't even see the Zacchaeus hanging from the tree. So many of us don't even see the people who are hanging there looking for somebody to share the love of God with them. I wonder how many of us here today would be here today if somebody hadn't took the time to see us hanging from our tree. I've been there. Somebody loved on me. Somebody loved on me in spite of my faults. Somebody loved on me and showed God's love to me. I'm here today because of it. How many of us would be here if somebody hadn't passed through our Jericho and reached out to us? I'm praying that God takes us out of our comfort zone and makes us fishers of men. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you, dear God, that somebody loved me enough, Lord, to reach out to me. Love on me. In spite of my faults, they love me. With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, you're talking about being fishers of men, first of all, I got to say that I'm a fish this morning, that I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my life. Or maybe you have accepted Jesus Christ into your life at one time, but maybe you found yourself swimming away and you haven't served him in a long time. You find yourself far away from him today. And today you say, I want to ask Jesus into my life to forgive me my sins, to be Lord of my life. Or I want to ask Jesus to renew my relationship with him. I want to get right and begin to live for God once again. If you're here today, that's you. No one's looking but me. Can you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. I want to do that. I'm not gonna embarrass you, but can you raise your hand where you're at? And second question today is this. If you hear, you say, Pastor, I'm praying today that God will get me out of my comfort zone and help me to see the Zacchaeus that are hanging from the tree. I'm praying today that God would help me to pass through my Jericho and to look up, not walk through with my head down, but look up and see those who are hanging, who need somebody to love them. If God's speaking to you today, can you raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm feeling that God's wanted me to do this. Thank you. Just raise your hands. That's me. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah. Thanks, God. Lots of people are raising their hands. Anybody else today? The Spirit's moving you to be more aware, to be a better fisherman, to be that follower of Christ that he's called us to be. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray for you, especially those who raised their hands. Father, I thank you today, God, that someone reached out to us. That's why we're here. Lord, I pray, Lord, that same Spirit that reached out to us, God, would empower us, Lord, to be fishers of men, fishers of women, fishers of people who need to know you. And God, as we pass through our Jericho when we leave here today, God, I pray that our eyes are open to look beyond the crowd and to see the people who are hanging, just trying to see who you are, just trying to get a glimpse of hope, just trying to get a glimpse of peace in their life. And God, today, help us to throw out the line, God. Help us to cast the net, to throw it out, God, as we're obedient to your Holy Spirit leading us, God. And we get out of our comfort zone, God. And may we fish for people and tell them that Jesus loves them and show them, God, what you've done in our life. I thank you today, God, you're empowering people, Lord, to be your witness. And God, I pray that there's a renewal in our heart, God, to getting back to the place that when we first accepted you, Lord, we were so excited about telling people. I pray that love is rekindled in our heart. That love is refired in our heart, that God, we will share your love with others, Lord, this week. Make it our prayer that God, you would lead us and guide us. And we say yes to your will, yes to your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. We say, amen. Amen. God bless you today. Be careful when you leave. You may want to wait the rain out. You'll know when it quits by the noise. God bless you. We'll see you soon.